Down the Dunk Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Down the Dunk Podcast. It is Friday, August 22nd. We appreciate you being here. It is a live podcast, which is a rarity for the summer.
So rare.
So rare. And with us, Andrew, Jay, and back from Wellington, New Zealand,
Steven Adams.
Taylor Dickerson. Taylor, welcome back.
Hello.
How was, man?
It was good.
Yeah, you miss it?
Not really.
Why not?
Well, I miss it just because I left my girlfriend there. So she's still there by herself.
Oh, yeah. I remember
now
you told
she's with
that.
Her parents. But I
That's
don't
a weird way to say that, though.
Yeah.
Because there's part of it's like I left her there.
No, that's how I felt.
Like
that's how we both felt, I think.
Really? Oh. That's so awkward. That's so incredibly
no,
awkward.
Not really. Oh. We knew it was going to happen the whole time.
All right. We have a bunch of stuff on your plate. Andrew, sorry, I didn't ask. Andrew had a child. Taylor went to New Zealand.
I had
yeah.
a child.
We had quite the summer.
It's a good
Taylor room. Also had a child.
That's pretty crazy. You did? Wow.
Yeah.
That he doesn't know about. An insane summer. And so if you're offended that we have slacked on our weekly podcast, we apologize.
We slacked 1 week.
But life is life.
Life is life.
Life is life. Last pod we had, I think, was the one with Steve McPherson, which is one of our favorite interviews. Just a good guy. And I'd like to actually contact him. We can talk a little bit about this later, but the Minnesota trade actually got finalized, or supposedly the outline of it finalized last night. So we can bring that up. We have Twitter questions, and we're going to go through our top 10 NBA players going into the season. And then we are going to do a quick game, and then we'll close out. And just a reminder, since we are kind of in the NBA winter, you know, it's like maybe the furthest away from basketball that we are, actually, except for FIBA basketball. But we try to avoid tackling different argument or different conversations, because what we've done the last 2 years, and that'll be coming up here in probably mid-September to early October, is we are going to do our big season preview, where we try to bring on a bunch of guests and have some pretty good conversation and interviews. And so we don't want to go too far into some expectations for things, and anything that we say now is way too premature anyway, because you never know what can happen leading up to. There are still actually big free agents, and so you never
like, yeah.
Eric Bledsoe is still in the NBA.
I mean,
Greg
yeah.
Monroe is still not signed. And so we don't know what's going to happen, and so everything right now obviously is a little premature, and we'll do another one kind of recapping everything sometime in September, October. So you guys ready?
Nope. So ready. Twitter questions from at KRico. KRico has a few questions for us. Let's start with who's the biggest threat to OKC's 2015 title run?
The biggest threat?
The biggest threat.
It's got to be the Spurs still, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It has to be. That's been the team that has been in our way every year, basically, in the West. If yeah. we would, there was only 1 year we beat them and got to the finals so far. So the Spurs are the reigning champions, and they're still our biggest threat.
The Spurs have never won back-to-back titles. So
they've won five without ever being back-to-back.
Yeah, it's either that they can't do it or that they're due.
Yes.
Like, and I don't know which. And it's funny that they would, if they would be due now, that Tim Duncan's like, you know, 56.
Yeah. I think the biggest threat, I don't want to say the Spurs.
Okay.
And primarily just because I feel like something that drove the Spurs last year in a different way was that edge or the mission they had to make up for the way the finals ended the year
before. That Ray Allen shot.
You know, like, and so everything they did, especially when it became the playoffs and especially in the Heat series, became about kind of avenging, you know, for lack of better words, that I guess avenging works, but I feel like you killed my grand, you know, like something. But no, they, and so for me, I think that the Spurs are going to have a little less edge. There are some injuries already happening. Patty Mills won't be in there not that Patty Mills is going to change the season, but who knows what this team, and we always say that Father Time is coming for them at some point, and surely,
I mean,
there will be a season that happens.
It will there, though.
I have my doubts. I've been saying it for 5 years.
Yeah, I don't know if that will happen.
Well, and so, but the thing.
But it is going to, I mean, it's going to happen.
But the thing to like remember, when? Though, is there is was. It? This year, Manu was really good all through the playoffs. The year before, he was banged up. The year before that, he was banged up in the play. Like, so there's one piece of the puzzle that has a significant injury. Or so it's kind of like Dwayne Wade last year. You know, Dwayne Wade 2 years ago was in good shape for the finals and ended up having a good impact. Last year was terrible.
He was bad.
And so, you know, who knows what happens. I think I'd go in probably my rankings. I probably would still say the Spurs. Then I would go probably Cleveland. I like this Cleveland roster the more that it's getting put together. I'm still got question marks about Kyrie Irving and Varejao and, you know, just the health and how they work together. I'd probably say they're a few years away.
Yeah.
Maybe next year. I think they'll get to the finals of the Eastern Conference. I don't know how far they'll go. It depends on the Bulls' health, I think, as well. I would also say the Bulls, and I really think the Clippers are going to take a step this year. As well, which
Clippers
is
are going to be good.
And then, you know, the one that I never ever think about, but David Thorpe is such a, he's just a fan, I guess, of the way they play basketball, but he still thinks the Grizzlies are going to be a really good team next year.
They're going to be awesome. Yeah.
Which I agree with that, too. They have some injury questions, you know. I think Gasol missed half the season basically last year, which is why they're so impressive that they still were as good as they were. And Zach Randolph is, I mean, he's getting kind of in the twilight of his career as well. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I don't know. Those are all going to be really good teams. I'm not afraid of Houston. I think Houston takes a step back.
They're not going to be that good.
Portland will be better. I don't know how much better.
Yeah, they'll be okay.
Golden State did not get better, I don't think, this offseason.
No. Especially with, like, all the trade rumors and stuff around that team.
Yeah, there was all these blockbuster opportunities.
Like, I think they should have done the Kevin Love deal. I would be afraid of the Warriors if they did the Kevin Love deal.
Yeah.
But as constructed, I don't know.
I worry about Steve Kerr too. I don't think Steve Kerr will be a bad coach, but you can't be a great coach your first year in the NBA.
It's hard. It's hard to be.
You don't
good.
Know anything.
Yep.
Yeah. You know things from being around it and whatever, but you have to be it's in that position. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
No.
So he's gonna have to make mistakes before he's good.
No doubt. There's a couple of people asking about this Kevin Durant Under Armour question. We have at Dialap and we have OGJD Dub asking, and I'll read Jamie's, if you're KD and Nike doesn't match within $5 million, you're an idiot for not going with Under Armour just because it's not Nike. Talk about this.
What does he mean? He thinks the brand,
Under Armour versus Nike. That's what he's saying.
Correct.
I think
if it's a $5 million difference, why would you not go with what's already established, what already is the basketball?
Right. But if it's not.
I mean, I think it is pretty close.
He said if it's not within $5 million, you should go with Under Armour.
Yeah. So a $5 million gap, which is funny because that's the arbitrary number, right?
Yeah. Which like $5 million and $300 million is not like, that much.
Oh, your paycheck was $200. Well, what if it was $198?
Yeah.
That's like that's like one, it's just over like 1% of the contract.
I think he's got to stay with Nike.
He's got to. Nike has the rights to the KD logo. So if there's any hopes of like.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, think about the fact that they basically have copyright his name or trademarked his name. Nobody can do the KD logo.
And no. Why would you go Under Armour? I mean, they're going to give you a lot of money, but. I mean, why? Other than that, what else is compelling about it? Who wears Under Armour basketball
shoes?
Steph
Curry is the only one that's like a name for Under Armour.
But is Jennings, Brandon Jennings too?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
I think for me, it's the only thing that would be intriguing is if he could be like a, there's two things. He could be a trendsetter, right? Like he'd be the first superstar basketball player under Under Armour.
Yeah.
And then the other thing would be like if in his mind, if he was taking, you know, like if there was some opportunity for him to become a part of the organization, the company.
Yeah.
You know, like Jordan through Nike became, now the Jordan brand exists, you know. And so I wonder if that would be part of it. Now, that's all completely speculative, and I get that. But surely there's something else to it. And, there's all these things like they're going to build a rec center in Wanda Pratt's name and, you know, like all of these things that
yeah
probably are completely irrelevant and made up. And the hard thing about it is, in the midst of all of it, there's this backlying, people keep throwing it out there, that the Under Armour headquarters and CEO and all those people are from Maryland. This is just the precursor to him going to back to Washington to play with.
Which is stupid. A shoe deal doesn't decide where you're about to. Doesn't because tell I have anyone shoes. Where you're going to go play basketball.
Wait, you mean they make shoes where I could be? I want to be where they make my shoes.
Like, I don't. That's so dumb.
Well, it's so dumb. What's funny is it leads to this. I can't remember who was it that asked that question, but that Stephen A. Smith comment in First Take, or on First Take, where he talks about what it does do when you're making $300+ million on a shoe deal, is it does make the freedom in your contract, you know, so that extra year at $26 million that the Thunder will be able to offer in 2016, does that become less important because of the money that you make on the shoe deal kind of thing?
I don't know. It's hard for me to put myself in that position, because I think after you have like $100 million, like, what is the difference between $100 million and anything else, really? Like, what can't you do?
You have to know, like, what rich means to that specific person. Yeah. Or, like, what is, like, this is the money I aim for.
You can't buy the Clippers.
You can't.
Like, what is, like, honestly, like, what about his life would change if he, you know, had $10 million less?
See, and that's what's weird, too. Like, it gives him a little room to take off $4 million a year on his NBA contract. Well, that's what, in the big scheme of things, that's like 1% of the amount of money he has anyway.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about, I don't know if that's a thing either.
But you know that adds to the anxiety that Thunder fans have, right? Like, that's another part of that you're just like, you know, like,
yeah,
we're so, and I use this analogy a lot, but we're the boyfriend that's gone way out of his league. And so that's what we feel like. But the truth is there's 1,000 things that are more enticing about Kevin Durant staying for the Oklahoma City Thunder than there are for the Wizards.
Well, and the offseason is just like, it's the most speculative time.
You're so bored.
People are making stuff up, making stories up. Like, no one's really reported what he said about his 2K cover, and that he was so proud to represent Oklahoma and represent Oklahoma City Thunder and stuff like that. Like, that's not a reported thing. Just whenever he says like these vague things, like it's like, oh, he's going somewhere. I don't know. It's dumb. And I think that when the season starts and they start winning games, like, I think I'm hoping this will settle down a little bit,
especially if this team does what we think it has the capability.
Yeah. I mean, if they can win 60 games and then, you know, get to the finals again, I think maybe all this talk will settle down a little bit. But I think he should stay with Nike. I just think that, I don't know, it's really good for his brand.
And who the hell buys Under Armour shoes? Even if Kevin Durant is there, he's not going to sell shoes. Like, if he stayed at Nike,
I don't think people will want them.
People would rather buy like Adidas, and Adidas isn't even like a super popular brand. Like, Nike's market share is so much greater than Adidas, and you think of like Nike, Adidas, and then whatever. Under Armour, you're not going to do anything. You're not creating some kind of shoe legacy.
Unless there's that part of you that wants to be the guy known as the first, you know, the trendsetter. It's like, anybody remember Fila shoes?
Yes.
You know, like, that's, at some point there were popular athletes that were sponsored by Fila, and it was not a good decision for them, you know? Like,
exactly.
Even Reebok back in the day. And who's Dwayne Wade sponsored by? He's sponsored by
Peak. That Chinese brand.
Yeah, that's right. So it's some brand that you've never even dealt with.
And he left Jordan to go to that. And nobody has them.
Nobody buys those.
Yep.
I just think, if you want to sell shoes, you're going to stay with Nike.
Yes.
I mean, just, I even think about myself. Like, when I go buy basketball shoes, I don't buy Reeboks.
No.
I've worn Adidas before. Nike is what I almost always go
to. Yeah, I only buy Nike.
And the other thing that you mentioned, and we just kind of briefly passed over, like, I still think, and I know LeBron James is well-branded, I think KD's brand is the more known out of everybody's.
Yeah, it's
like that.
The KD logo, it's just the and, you know, even his commercials through Nike, I thought. Now, LeBron's coming back, especially with this Cleveland thing, because people don't hate him anymore.
Yeah.
But I still think that Kevin Durant needs to stay with Nike. That's just a personal thing, I guess.
Yeah, I do too. Regardless, I mean, Nike's going to pay him a ton of money. I don't know. I think he should stay with Nike. Okay, so Reggie Jackson is a free agent next offseason, restricted free agent. and the Thunder can re-sign him now. So at Jake the Snake,
We call him Jake the Snake, but his Twitter handle is the Jake Snake.
The Jake Snake. What do you think is a realistic figure to resign Reggie?
I don't know. We've talked about this before, and we decided 9 was too much.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, I don't know if 9's too much now.
Like a three.
I think the market set it, and it was terrible for that to happen.
Like 3-year 24.
Yeah.
$1 million deal.
I'd do a 3-year 27. Who can you find me? Who else would be up that high? Like, who is that kind of on lines with? I don't know.
I don't know. Here's
how
the
much
thing.
Did Hayward get?
Oh, 16 a year.
Mil.
I mean, would you rather have Reggie or Gordon Hayward?
Depends on the money. Yeah, I'm not
for the money. Reggie.
I don't want Gordon Hayward on $16 million.
No.
Here's the deal: the difference between like Hayward and Parsons and these guys is that Reggie Jackson plays point guard. And what teams are out there that need a point guard that would actually pay him? You know?
There's a ton of point guards right
ton.
Now.
Ton. Like Sacramento would be one. But I really think that Sacramento is going to end up with Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
I think that that trade is going to happen. And then that leads. And then there's two teams now that have their franchise point guards. The Celtics have Marcus Smart. The Kings have Rajon Rondo. And then who else? Like, who else needs a point guard?
And it's really weird now because it's like you... Why would you overpay a point guard unless they're going to be like your star?
Yeah.
Like top two or three. Because there's so many point guards now, it's like going out of your way to get a point guard. They better be as good as Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, all these guys.
Just watching what's happening with Eric Bledsoe right now.
Yeah.
No one wants to pay Eric Bledsoe. No one's going to give him what him and his agent want because there's too many point guards out there.
Which yep. is a great... The Eric Bledsoe thing maybe is a really good thing for Reggie Jackson.
Yes.
The bad thing is agents, they don't pay attention to reality a lot of times. And so they have this expectation for what
they
you
create
should make.
Reality.
Yeah, and they have this expectation for what you should make. And
you know who his agent is? Eric Bledsoe's.
Who?
Rich Paul. LeBron's agent.
Really?
Yeah.
So what are you telling me? He's going to Cleveland?
I'm just telling you that he's a newer agent and he's just trying to make as much money as he can. And I think that he kind of sees the talent that Bledsoe has. But the kind of reality is that Bledsoe was hurt half of last season. And he has never... That was his only year to be a starting point guard.
Mm-hmm.
And he's good. He's very athletic. But he's also had two surgeries this past year. And he's, you know, a guy who's predicated on athleticism. And if you have a guy who's having surgeries who... I mean, Bledsoe's situation is pretty complex. But... when it comes down to it, there's just not a lot of starting point guard spots open in the NBA. I think like the Milwaukee Bucks could probably use a starting point guard.
Who?
Because I don't know that they have
Pistons.
One.
Pistons have Brandon Jennings.
The Pistons have Jennings, but I think that the Pistons would be a team that would.
I mean, I think Eric Bledsoe is better than Brandon Jennings.
I'm saying Reggie Jackson.
Oh, Reggie
Jackson.
Yeah,
we're talking about Reggie. Or either one. I think the Pistons would be a good landing spot, but the Pistons are tied up in so much money already. It's kind of
so
their
stupid.
Problem. And same thing with the Kings. Like the Kings, like
what
they couldn't go after.
Knicks. There's not
yeah, I mean, the Knicks will be... I mean, they have Calderon, but they will be...
Jose?
Next season, they'll be in the market for a point guard.
Sure.
Are they, I mean, maybe if... Bledsoe takes the qualifying offer, they would overpay Bledsoe. I just don't know if anybody is going to pay Reggie like they're
no.
Like
so
that.
Bledsoe's
so
a bigger name.
A now,
who knows what
and
happens
and he's a better
year.
Player.
I think that's why. So the question maybe that I really wanted to ask was, do you think Sam Presti lets him get to the market?
That's what I was going to ask.
I do.
How do you handle it?
I think you absolutely do. Just because it's so different than like James Harden. Like you can't let James Harden get there because somebody's going to give him a max offer because of the positional scarcity.
Yeah,
like there's no
right.
shooting guard.
There's two of them, yeah.
Same thing with like Jeff Green and guys like that. Like those wing players that can play defense and that can shoot
mm-hmm.
the ball. Like they're like you're seeing it with Gordon Hayward and Chandler Parsons. Like teams need those guys, so you can't really let them get to restricted free agency without trying to get something back before. But because there's so many point guards, I think you let you know you just wait for the market to determine his value. And a lot of teams, I mean, he's going to be the backup for a lot of teams just because so many other teams have point guards. So I don't think there's going to be as big an issue.
Word.
So I think around $8 million is probably a really nice price for him.
Which, you know, with the loss of Perkins' contract after this year, it's money they have.
Yeah. Yeah, it's money that they can spend for sure. So I think, and I also don't think it's out of the question that he gets traded. I really don't. Just because we already have a point guard, you know, who's a, in my opinion, top five player in the league.
You are talking about Sebastian Telfair.
I'm talking about Bassey.
All right.
But, and, I mean, realistically.
It will be intriguing. If he comes out and starts at the shooting guard.
He's not eight. I mean, starting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that.
I'm just saying.
If
like,
he starts, does it change the money?
No, I don't know if it changes the money, but the backcourt doesn't get us, you know, like the reality that he could be your shooting guard for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I mean.
Makes it easier to pay him
yeah,
that money.
Yeah, it makes
it
easier to pay him that money.
I agree with that.
But I'm just saying, if something comes along that.
The Greg Monroe deal
like
that
we talked about,
we all phantomly made. Yeah,
yeah, we talked about a fake Greg Monroe trade yesterday, like a sign and trade for Perkins and Jackson for Greg Monroe.
In a second. They
and Will Bynum. I mean, that's a good trade for both teams, I think.
Yeah. Big Willie B.
I'd love that.
Do you love Will Bynum?
First of all, I love Greg Monroe. Second, I love Will Bynum.
Do you remember we did this podcast? It was forever ago, but you were like, I got this great trade, guys.
No.
It's
this
for
is,
Will Bynum. Have you guys seen Will Bynum?
We're
play?
All like, wah, wah.
I did not ask if you'd seen Will Bynum
yes,
play.
You all watched him play.
I'm almost positive you did. You talked about.
I asked you if you know who Will Bynum is.
You talked about this game that he played against the Heat or something.
Oh, that was a sick. I remember that game.
27.
They're
points.
Just killing the Heat. Oh my God, Willie B. Okay, now I'm back on the Willie B train. Mm-hmm. We need that.
But
guy.
That would be, I mean, amazing.
You get a good back, decent backup point guard.
Yeah,
and he plays Monroe. What 15 minutes.
You start him at. You start Greg Monroe at center.
Yep.
Ooh.
Or at the two.
Or, yeah, I mean, we need two guards so we can just make them, you know, we develop players into whatever we want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
Next question.
All right.
Also from the Jake Snake, at the Jake Snake. With LeBron leaving and the whole East seemingly being shaken up, do you think 2015 is the best chance for a Thunder title?
Yes.
We said last year was the best chance, too.
I think that they have a chance
every year
as long as they have this current team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think they have a really good chance this year, without a doubt.
I think they're in the NBA, so they do the NBA forecast on ESPN, and they get, I mean, every writer that writes for ESPN or contributes to ESPN, and they have them do this poll. And the Thunder were forecasted to be the best team in the NBA this year, as far as record.
Yeah.
Now we'll see. I don't know. They haven't done, I don't think, a finals and all that stuff, maybe.
They did the West already and said that
the Thunder will win.
No,
they said Spurs will win.
Yeah, and you kind of have to say that right now because
sure.
You just kind of have to assume that the same Spurs team is coming back.
But it's funny, but in the same word, like in the same thing, David Thorpe, who's a big Spurs guy,
yeah,
because of the system, in the True Hoop conversation with him and Henry Abbott, said that even admitted the fact that maybe if Serge Ibaka doesn't get hurt, I don't know if we even have this conversation right now because I think that is a reality that we're overlooking pretty. No, I'm not saying – no, I love the Matt Moore article that said the Spurs were just better. I don't disagree with that in parts, but, heck, we went almost to 7 with a
– It could have happened.
60% Serge Ibaka. You know, so.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just think back to, like, the first few seasons that they were here, and I went to the opening game against the Kings, and I think it was
– a game you'll never forget.
The third year that they were here. And so Russ was in his third year. And I just remember Russ coming out. And just watching him play, and he was so, like, he had changed his game so much.
Yeah.
And he had gotten so much better. I remember calling one of my friends afterwards and just being like, did you see that? Like, did you see what just happened? And the Thunder offseason development is unlike anything. And I know Russell Westbrook is special. He's absolutely special. But I'm saying, like, Jeremy Lamb and Reggie Jackson could come back this next season and just blow us away, and like that could be a bigger off-season acquisition than any other team could have.
Which is the weird thing about summer league is the reminder that that happened so early, in the season, in the summer. Like that's happened the first week of what was the first week of July, or was it the it was around the first week of July, and so before training camp even starts, they have another 3 months.
Yeah.
Two months.
And Steven Adams talked about in this interview about how the off season is like working overtime because you're not having to rest up for anything. So you're just working on your game, you know, way more, you know, during the off season, and you can have that room to improve because of that. So I'm excited to see,
That's the biggest leap for me.
Yeah.
Like Reggie Jackson and Jeremy Lamb, I think they'll be really good. Reggie will be really good. I think Jeremy Lamb will be better. Steven Adams
is going to be good, guys.
With one more year of maturity athletically. Like, he's not even in his athletic prime.
Oh, he's like 6 years away.
I don't know what he'll be. He'll like be able to flat foot jump onto the top of a backboard or something.
These guys are going to get better. So we talk about that a lot, but I think that they're going to be a lot better. Let's see. Okay. From A. Buckner. Can we hear your best impressions of Dikembe Mutombo's ALS challenge? Thanks.
For the Commissioner Adam Silver, Michelle Nunn, for ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, I'm donating $500. But I challenge along for morning, our Deputy Commissioner Mark and my friend Todd Jacob. You guys got 24 hours. Let's go.
I can't do that without screaming.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Andrew said on his way to do the pod this morning, he's been practicing it. So, Andrew, your turn.
Okay.
Just say, I'm accepting the ALS challenge from Commissioner Adam Silver, and then do the scream and say it's cold.
I'm accepting the ALS ice bucket challenge from the Commissioner Silver. Here it goes. It's cold.
I feel like Dikembe Mutombo just became a Sesame Street character.
Yeah, that was a little Dikembe, a little Cookie Monster. But they're not far away from each other.
Pretty close.
I have a 2-year-old that do Cookie Monster all the time too.
That's good.
I could hear the Cookie Monster influence in your Dikembe Mutombo.
Thank you.
I can also hear the Cookie Monster influence in Dikembe Mutombo.
himself.
I saw somebody tweet like, "Don't worry if Cookie Monster ever dies, we still have Dikembe Mutombo."
I love it. Do you want to try, Taylor? Because I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to do it? Okay, I'll try.
I'm accepting the challenge from Commissioner Adam Silva. Okay, you have 24 hours. It's cold.
I could hear the Yoda influence.
I kind of felt like that. I felt like I was a really old African Yoda.
All right. That's great. Hey, guys. Well done.
That's kind of whack. You're not doing it.
Hey, it's super how was your ALS challenge with the ice bucket, man?
I donated money. What'd you do?
I mean, I did the challenge.
It's super whack that you're not doing it, Jay.
I'm not doing it.
Come on.
Can I just do the yell?
Yeah, but you have to say it's cold.
I literally just heard this.
You do have to say it's cold.
It's cold!
Yes. All right. Okay. So, Team USA. Oh, no. We got to talk about Mitch Narny. At Mitch Narny.
Oh, beef. Twitter beef.
My
beef town USA.
He said, let's chat D-Rose. What do you guys think his season will look like? Talk about games played, stats, predictions.
I feel like this conversation would be way better if Luke was here.
Yeah. Well, I'll be Luke real quick. Okay. Here we go. Derrick Rose is not an NBA player. He's not going to play ever again.
Okay. Good job. That was maybe even better than you.
I really don't believe he's ever going to play again. He's really not going to play
again. I think Derrick Rose is going to be good.
Yeah, I think he'll be good too.
He had a really fun, it wasn't a good game, I don't think, but he had a really fun couple moments when they played the United Center.
I thought he had super Derrick Rose moments.
It's the reminder. You're like, oh, yeah, he's phenomenal.
He's like, I mean, him and Russ are pretty similar, but he's like so much more like graceful than Russell Westbrook is. Like, everything he does is just like, oh my goodness. But like, when Russ does something, you're like, whoa, like, how did somebody do something like that? But when you watch Derrick Rose, you're like, wow.
When he like splits his legs on those layups and stuff.
He did this left-handed finger roll after a spin move that was just like, oh, okay, that's Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of proving to do, though. Not to me. Derek, you got a lot of proving to me.
You
got
to prove something to Jay Smith.
This guy that lives randomly in Oklahoma City. I think he's got a lot to prove to the NBA that he can sustain a season.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
He does.
I've high expectations for him.
So if he's healthy, let's assume Derrick Rose plays all season. What stat predictions?
Oh, I think he can average 17 points, like 5 rebounds, 5 assists.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe 20 points.
I was going to
say they need offense so bad. They not really. I mean,
well,
not as much anymore.
But. Yeah, I mean they have Pau Gasol now, who can shoulder some of the load. Douglas McBuckets, and I think Tony Snell will be better.
See, I think his assist totals are going to be pretty high. I think his assists are going to be around 8.
7, 8.
But rebounds around 4, just because they have so many good rebounds.
It's hard
now
to get to 8 assists a game, though.
But the thing is that with 8 assists on that particular team is that they run so many things through Joakim Noah. And now they're going to run so many things through Pau Gasol.
So they're going to get the assists.
As far as distributors go.
But it wasn't as much like that before Derrick Rose went out. Like, I think that was almost like an adjustment in the offense just to make up for Derrick Rose not being there. Like, before he went out, Derrick Rose was the offense for that team, pretty much.
Yeah, he was, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I just don't know how much it'll change now that
maybe they found, like, this way works really well. Derrick, can you figure out how to fit with this? Yeah. But I hope he plays.
Do you think that he's going to, like, how many games do you think he'll play? I think he'll play, like, 60 games.
So my question, will they purposely rest him on back-to-backs and will they do stuff?
I think so. Yeah. I think that at least to start the season they will. And once they figure out kind of what they have with him, I think that they may play him more.
And there's no pressure to play him as much, like to push him to play as much as they can. Because look, like he wasn't there for 2 years and they were great without him.
Well, and they're going to, I mean, the East has improved some, but the East is still so bad.
There's still a lot of bad teams.
I don't know. They're going to have a lot of opportunities to rest him.
This is what's going to be annoying. The nights that they're just resting him, people are going to be like, oh, there are reports that he's broken both of his kneecaps.
Well, those aren't always too far from the truth.
Well, he's never averaged 8 assists a game for his career.
Here it comes. Here it comes,
honestly,
boys.
Honestly, it could because, I mean, he's going to change his game. I expect it to be 5 is probably low, maybe 6 or 7.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm excited to see him play again. I do think he's going to be able to. He's not going to be the old Derrick Rose, because I think his game is going to change a lot. But I think that he's going to have a major impact on this NBA.
It's going to be old Derrick Rose with a little bit more YMCA game in it, I think.
Yeah, it's going to have to.
Yeah.
He can't just attack the basket like he would before.
Yeah.
Because it obviously destroys his body. But. I think he's going to be good. I think he'll play 60-plus games this season. This is where I think he'll be. And I think the Bulls will be the best team in the East. And I think the Bulls will represent the East in the finals.
Ooh, I would like to see that. Just to see. I mean, I guess there's a change anyway, isn't there? Since LeBron's not on the Heat anyway.
Yeah, the
so,
Heat
like, there's going to be a new East
I don't
team
think the Heat will make it to the finals. But
last thing on Derrick Rose. Let's just hope he's not a Penny Hardaway. And that we get a full career.
I think there's a chance of that. I don't like that.
There's a chance, man.
Penny was awesome.
For 3 years.
Yeah.
Maybe even less.
That's what Derrick Rose has been so far.
I know.
Sad. Or he could be, it could be Grant Hill.
Yeah.
Grant Hill was awesome for a little while and then got hurt forever and then came back and figured out how to play again.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd be more of a Grant Hill than Penny.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because Penny was just like, I'm still the man, but I'm in New York and I'm like falling apart. Okay, Team USA. Do we want to talk about Team USA some?
So let's do something real quick. And this can be the same conversation. James Harden, and as part of this 2014 or 2015 NBA 2K, interview, said that I am the best player, all around player in the NBA. Which is the funniest statement I've ever heard in my life because it's the least true possible statement. So,
except for the other half of basketball that happens.
So it made me think of, and it leads to this conversation of I don't even think on this USA basketball team, which has very few of the elite,
mm-hmm.
I don't even think he's the best player on that team.
He's not.
And so I think they can lead us to say, who do we think is the man on the USA basketball team?
I think it's clearly Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Yep.
He impacts the game on both ends. He can score from anywhere on the court, guys.
His jumper is a lot better than I even thought it was. I think it's improved a lot.
And I think he can handle some, too.
Yeah.
He's not going to handle, but he handles the ball like Kevin Garnett handled the ball in his prime, you know? So I think it's Davis. I think he's going to have the biggest impact on the team by far. And then after Davis, I just think that it's kind of Davis and everybody else.
I would say Harden after Davis. That's fine.
I think, if Rose is healthy, I think that Rose could end up having a bigger impact than Harden.
He could. So far from what we've seen, it's Harden. But yes, I think Rose could end up being the number one guy, too, just because he is the point guard. He would have the ball in his hands if he turns out to be that good. But, yes, I agree.
What's crazy to me, though, is to think of the fact that these guys, like, somehow, how does Coach K get them to play defense like they do? Like, Kyrie Irving is picking up people from half court.
Yeah.
Do you remember, did you watch that game, not the other day, a week ago? And Kyrie Irving had, like, three steals in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's like, I've never seen that. And that point, they could not get past
that. And also, I will say that I think part of that is Kyrie is sensing that he's maybe the biggest piece in LeBron move this year. Like, it's the piece that everybody's kind of just sliding and expecting just to work. But I think he's engaging on both ends. Kyrie's a great basketball player.
He's
good. We hate on him a lot because he was so bad with the Cavs, and the Cavs were so bad. I mean, but he's a good player.
Yeah. I don't know. It's different, too. I mean, whoever he was picking up, I don't know who that guy was.
That's true.
I mean, it's different.
It's
than
very true.
It's different than most point guards in the NBA who are just going to, like, shake him off, like, go away, get off me.
Yeah,
he's not just some, like, random, you know, Brazilian dude.
I didn't see their second game. Who did they play? The Dominican Republic?
I didn't even know it was on.
Me neither.
It was on NBA TV.
Oh, that's why we didn't know. Tonight's on ESPN.
Who are they playing tonight?
Puerto Rico.
Oh.
Oh, that'll be a barn
Puerto
burner.
Puerto Rico.
Wow. That should be pretty boring.
So that leads us to our...
We're going to discuss the top 10 players in the NBA.
And Andrew could not be more excited.
We always talk about, like, oh, so-and-so's a top 10 player. They're definitely top 10. But there's only 10, guys.
But this is it. This is the ranking.
We're going to rank it.
But each one of us have a different one.
Can we try to get, like, a definitive list?
Yeah, let's do it. All right.
Okay.
How do you want to do this? Back top to bottom, bottom top?
We got to go number one because I think it's easier at the top and then gets murky.
I have the top four that I feel like we all share.
Okay.
Maybe. Okay. All right. Number one.
LeBron James.
Spencer Haas.
Yes.
I agree. Jay, you need on the... Are you on this
okay,
train?
Okay, you're right.
Okay,
come
okay.
on, Jay. No, okay. LeBron's number one. I mean...
Number two's KD.
Yeah.
So, Bron, KD. I'm gonna type it up here.
That's great. Here's where it gets interesting.
That's great.
This is where it's going to get... You're going to get mad at me, I think.
Well, I think both of you are going to go Anthony Davis, number three.
No.
Oh, good. I have Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I'm going Russell.
I went Chris Paul.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. Do you remember game five?
Yes, I know. But just in my head, I don't know why. I know how good Russell Westbrook is. But in my head, I just still see Chris Paul's like, well, Chris Paul, I think I would rank above Russell Westbrook as a point guard. So how can I put Russell Westbrook above him on the top 10?
Because
of this playoff run he just
Please
had?
Tell me. I mean, I want to believe.
I'm just going to read you his... postseason stats.
Okay.
I can't type. Like, I can't think right now.
He's just using his fists.
you can definitely change my mind for sure.
We just did. It doesn't matter. We have unanimous.
I guess it doesn't matter.
Not unanimous. Really majority.
Russ is number three now, I guess.
Not unanimous.
Okay. So per game in the playoffs, this past playoffs, 26 points per game, 2 steals, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, shooting 88% from the line, 46% from two,
That's great. That's
I mean, 20, 26, 8, and 7.
He was the best player in all the playoffs.
He was the. I agree with that. Let's see what Chris Paul did in the playoffs.
I mean, lost a game single handedly. Is that in there?
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Touched
about
his
that.
Elbow on that 3-point shot on Russell's 3-point
after
shot.
Flailing for the 3-quarter.
Clippers fans are like so enraged about that game. As you know, if that happened to the Thunder, how enraged would you be?
Very enraged
about that game.
But
you have to acknowledge the fact that
they fouled Reggie Jackson.
That the Clippers blew it.
Yes.
And Clippers fans are saying it was all the referees in the league wanted the Thunder to win, so that they rigged that.
You flop from 3/4 the length of the floor, and Chris Paul admitted it.
Yeah,
he's like, I blew it.
So Chris Paul, 19 points per game, 10 assists, 2 steals, 4 rebounds. Shooting 77% from the line, shooting almost the exact same percentage from the field.
It's not that much different. The 10 assists makes up for the points per game, but
he's 2 assists behind him, and Chris Paul's, I mean, he's almost 8 points behind Russell Westbrook.
Okay, I mean, I can, yeah, yes. Okay.
You're wrong. You're wrong, Taylor.
I agree. Russ should be ahead of Chris Paul.
I think he's better.
So who's our number 4?
Davis.
That's where I put Anthony Davis. That's where you have Russ.
That's where I had Russ.
That's fine.
Okay.
I think Davis is going to be incredible this year.
I think so too, but is he better than Love right now?
I think so. I think he impacts the game on both ends better than Kevin Love.
Okay. Okay. Because we just talk about best power forward. Well, Love's the best power forward in the game.
I don't think that's going to be
Anthony
true this
Davis.
Year.
Yeah. I don't think it will be either, but I think right now.
Well, and I think it's going to be hard because I don't think Love is going to put up the numbers that he did this year. In
it's
no going to
be that's a Chris Posh situation.
So I took that into account when I ranked them as well.
Yeah.
So I have Anthony Davis number 4. Are we good with that?
Yes.
Number 5, I have Chris Paul.
That's where I have CP3 too.
I had Love there, but.
Number
I mean, Paul, I mean,
he
I
is
just,
still really,
I
really
just
good.
Kind of dogged him for a little bit, but he's awesome, you know.
And then number 6, I have Kevin Love.
I have Blake Griffin.
You think Blake Griffin's better than Kevin Love?
I like him a lot.
Are you taking this upcoming season, what you think will happen with Kevin Love, into account a lot?
Yeah, I do.
The Bosch factor. I can see that, but.
I can see it, but does
that
mean that he's
still so stinking good?
I don't see Blake Griffin doing, even on Minnesota, what Kevin Love did on Minnesota. And if I put Kevin Love in the Clippers.
Dude, hold on. Do you remember when Chris Paul was out for like 25 games this year and
Blake Griffin was he was great.
He was an
he
MVP
was great.
Candidate. I mean, where did he end up in
but
the MVP
he was like
voting?
Four. He was like
4?
What was he? He was like 4 or 5 in at the end.
Who was it?
For
was
MVP
it was
voting.
Durant, LeBron, LaMarcus Aldridge. Was he out there?
Yes. For a while, and then he dropped for no reason.
I don't think that you can overlook Blake, though, like that.
I'm not overlooking him.
I don't think he's better in Love, either.
I don't think he's better in Love.
Love is my 6.
Okay, so 5. Is Chris Paul at 5 good?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't think very well, this guys. 6. I'm okay with putting Kevin Love there. I just don't think the gap between Kevin Love and Blake Griffin is that big.
This is where I agree with that. Mine gets chaotic here, by the way.
I don't know. Both of them are not stellar defenders, but they're both not terrible. I think Blake's a little bit better.
I think Kevin Love is better on the block than we think about because we just think of him shooting a lot, but he's a banger down there.
Here's what I
think. He's a better rebounder.
He is a better rebounder, for sure.
Better shooter.
Yeah, he is.
Has better moves. He doesn't just like blow his body into someone and then go up. Yeah. I think he has actual like footwork on the block. He can actually get a shot.
I just think that Blake's impact athletically makes up for a lot of that.
I think so too.
All right.
But I'm okay with putting Love ahead of him.
So who do we say is number, where are we at, 7? I want to hear you guys before I say anything.
Well, I have Blake up there.
You're still going to put him at, like, if he's not 6, he's 7, then is your thought.
Yeah.
Dwight's at my 7.
I don't have Dwight in my top 10.
Wow. Really, Dwight?
Yes.
Okay.
He's a fantastic fantastic defensive player. He was the best player for the Rockets last playoffs.
He was awesome.
He was the best player offensively, defensively. Mm-hmm. I think he's basically their only. He was their only defensive anchor for Houston last year. I think his just what he does on defense and what he opens up on offense is a bigger deal than a lot of people think.
Yeah,
I think Harden's in Houston. It's like, oh, it's Harden and it's Dwight. I don't think this Houston team is anywhere close to what it is if it's Ashiq there or if Dwight wasn't there. Defensively, he's a huge deal, huge factor.
He's good. But do you take him over Blake Griffin? You take Dwight over Blake Griffin?
If I was building a team, I would pick Dwight because of his defense over Blake Griffin's offense.
Even though Dwight is an ass clown.
Yes. I mean, I probably would like Blake Griffin personally as a friend.
But that's
better.
A part of it, though, right?
As best 10 players
it's
in the
league? Chemistry. It's a
is
chemistry.
That not a part of it? I don't think guys want to play with Dwight Howard.
Nope. So I will say this.
Why, though? If he was a free agent right now, everyone would be recruiting Dwight Howard.
No, they wouldn't.
Just like they would. Yes, 100%. Just like they were when he was a free agent last year.
Well, they recruit him, but I'm just saying that
I think
guys don't want to play with him.
Guys don't want to come play in Houston with him.
I think that's changing, too. I think next free agency, it will not be that way.
Undoubtedly, Chris Bosh would have been a title contending team.
Yes,
if he went there.
Mm-hmm.
I understand he got way more money in Miami, but I think a part of it has to be I don't want to go play next to this guy.
But also, I think some of it too is like, what if Chris Bosh is just like, I won two championships here. Like, I like it here. My family is here now.
I understand.
Like,
I,
this is a personal thing. It doesn't have to do with Dwight
Howard. I
think
Dwight's an idiot. And I think that people don't want to play with him. I don't think people want to play with him.
I think he's really good.
That's why I don't. That's why
I think people want to play with him.
I think he's very good. But if he was some kind of leader, which he's not. You know, like, Shaq acted like an idiot, but he was a leader.
On the court, he was the
And he just
leader.
Killed everybody. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was a leader to those teams. I don't see that in Dwight at all. And when he was in Orlando, he was such a different player, too. He was so much better.
Right.
I think he was probably the second best player in the league whenever he was in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Which is also the last time he had a good coach.
Yeah. You know. I mean, McHale's...
Well, and it's a coach that doesn't take his crap.
Yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. Stan Van Gundy, it's part of the reason he left.
Yeah.
Or got fired or whatever.
Yeah.
Know? So, I don't know. I don't even have Dwight in my top 10, to be honest with
Diet
you.
Diet Pepsi.
My number 7, which I didn't, y'all, it doesn't matter because y'all are going to shut it down, but I think he's maybe the most overlooked player because he's stuck on a bad team, but I think Carmelo Anthony's still one of the top 10 players in the NBA.
He was my 8.
So, he's my 7, but that's fine. I can be, I'm okay with Blake. Blake's my 9 or my
well,
8.
Well, where do you guys have Steph Curry?
Not in my top 10.
Steph is 9 for me.
Really? Okay.
He'd be like 11.
I had him at 7. I think that guy impacts the game just astronomically.
I know this is unfair, very unfair, but I watched him in that Brazil game. Him and Klay Thompson were the most underwhelming players on the NBA team in that game. Like, I was like, what?
Klay almost made Steph look worse. I was thinking about that,
weird.
Too.
Because
Steph had
awful.
Some good.
Yeah.
Steph is also never the primary ball handler on that team.
Right.
Either, which is really weird for him, because a lot of his shots are pull. Like, he has the ball in his hand. He's not a catch and shoot player, you know. And that's a player he is on this USA team. So
you gotta really think about this last season, like watching that Warriors team play.
He was phenomenal.
Like, how much does he impact the game?
He's good.
Like, he can make shots from anywhere on the court.
I think the thing with Dwight and Steph Curry is to remember that we're not saying they're not great basketball players.
Right. Well, I mean, we're splitting hairs here.
So for me, like. So 7, I have Melo, and then 8, I have Tony Parker, which for me, Tony Parker probably isn't realistically, if you lined him up and you had to pick 5 and 5, you wouldn't probably pick him in the top 10.
No.
But because of the impact he has for the Spurs.
Do you feel like you just have to pick a Spur?
I had to pick a Spur.
I don't feel like I have to pick a Spur.
I don't either because they're. I see the Spurs as one player.
Do we have Blake at 7?
They're Megatron.
Are we okay with Blake at seven, or do we not want Blake there? I understand the argument against him because I think he still has a lot of holes.
Do you
want to
put
game.
Blake? Are we going to put Blake ahead of Melo? I think Melo plays defense better than Blake.
I love Carmelo.
Let's go with Melo 7.
I'm fine with Melo 7. I had Melo at 9.
Let's go Blake 8.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
So we have 9 and 10.
Wait, where's Steph?
I'm okay with Steph being one of those two.
I'm okay with him being one of those two as well. Are we going to try to argue for Harden in the top 10?
I'm not.
I had him at 10, but I
had him at 10 too. That.
I have Harden at 12.
He's so bad on defense.
He's astronomically terrible on defense.
Kevin Love is not a minus on defense. He reminds me of like how Dirk was in his prime.
Yeah.
Like Dirk is not going to win you a game on defense, but he's also not going to lose games for you on defense.
Yeah.
Just watch the very end of game 6 of the Portland Trailblazers Houston Rockets series. I can tell you exactly why I don't have James Harden in my top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had no freaking idea what they were doing on defense. They let Damian Lillard just get a wide open 3 to win the game. Like, what are you doing? that's awful. And it was miscommunication. But that's a part of defending is communicating with your teammates and telling guys where to be. Yeah, it's a part of leadership. And just back to like the Dwight Howard stuff, the stuff that's been coming out about Harden this off season, saying, you know, it's me and Dwight and everyone else is a role player. Like, you can't lead your team and say stuff like that.
Nope.
You cannot be one of the best players in the NBA, and I think he is, but you can't do that and lead your team to a championship.
Just more affirmation of how little he fit with the Thunder.
Yeah. And
organizationally.
Yeah. Unless you're Michael Jordan and you just like berate everybody into
but you're Michael Jordan.
But you're Michael Jordan, you're the best player of all time.
And he
and
would
you
go
defend
out, yeah,
and you lead and you tell people where to be
times,
and
yeah.
you don't let Damian Lillard have a wide open 3.
And you win championships and you win at all, you just win all the time.
Exactly. But if you're James Harden and you don't play defense and you just have this massive beard and throw your hands up in the air a lot in the paint and you say everyone else is a role player. I mean, KD doesn't even say that. KD says that we're all role players to his team. And he's obviously, he won the MVP.
Right. He knows how good he is. And the difference is Harden can think these things. And I agree with that. With the, like, if you want to be one of the best players, you have to think you're the best player. I agree with that mentality. But there's a difference of thinking that and saying it about your teammate. Like, putting your teammates down and saying that.
Exactly.
There was a hummingbird.
Oh, wow.
Oh, a hummingbird.
I'm done with Dan
Harden. Are hummingbirds poisonous?
No, I don't think so.
Why do you think that?
Just a question. Next one.
Do you know one poisonous bird? Can you tell me one bird that's poisonous?
What's number 9? So we have LeBron, KD, Russ, AD, CP3,
Love,
Mello, Blake.
Steph Curry, put him at 9.
Steph, and if...
What about LaMarcus Aldridge? Where do you guys...
Oh, man, I wanted to put him in my top 10. Put him at 10.
I thought about it, too. Okay, hold on. Dwight's still not... LaMarcus Aldridge better than Dwight?
I would take him.
Yeah, because he's not a... I don't know.
This is... Okay, guys, we can't let our personal feelings about players do
that. I just think that personalities have a big impact on an NBA court.
I think so, too. LaMarcus Aldridge also brought a lot of drama by saying he didn't want to be on Portland and pressed a lot of tension onto that team.
And,
like, it's not
and,
like...
And then ended
and then
up having...
swirled into the second round of the playoffs.
They had
the
a
best,
beating...
His best season.
Beating Dwight Howard and...
Yes,
James
that is
Harden.
Not Dwight Howard's fault
and
at
he
all.
He was scoring 40 points a game the first 3 or 4 games, LaMarcus Aldridge.
Oh, my gosh. That was so... I loved watching those games.
His shots are the stupidest shots I've ever seen in my life. Like, how are those going? And you're fading away every single time.
Every time.
I mean, that guy is so good.
It's ridiculous. So
he's so good.
LaMarcus Aldridge 10, Steph Curry 9.
Fine.
Okay. So if we put Aldridge there, guys were leaving out Dwight, obviously.
Fine.
James Harden.
Fine.
Chris Bosh.
Fine.
Joakim Noah.
Ooh, he's right there at 11, 12. I would take Howard over Noah
I'd,
over
I'd,
Howard.
I'd take,
yeah, I would
I'd take Mark Gasol over Joakim Noah.
Yeah, Mark Gasol. I was my next guy.
Those are good top 15s.
And then you have guys like Kyrie Irving and John Wall, Kyle Lowry, like guys like that. Who I mean, very very good players, but I just don't think that you can include them there yet. I think John Wall could be a guy who leaps into this group,
especially when he's playing with Durant.
Ooh, wow.
I think that he could, just because he impacts the game on both sides.
Also, someone who probably would have made this both list ends. Had they not died, rest in peace, Paul George.
Oh, Paul, where would you have Paul George?
I would put him
right
late
there, at 11.
I would put him in the top 10. I'd put him in top 10. I'd put him above.
I think I would put him at 6.
I'd put him between 5 and 10. I don't know exactly. I'd need to think about it.
I think
the
I would
issue
have
is you got to bump somebody out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to bump Aldridge out.
Yeah, I'm that sounds good.
And,
yep.
And put, it'd be 10. LeBron, KD, Russ, Anthony Davis,
Paul,
Chris
Paul
George.
That's fine.
Because I think of this, like, who would I trade, you know, Kevin Love for Chris Paul? Or opposite way. Would I trade Chris Paul for Kevin Love? No, I wouldn't. I would keep Chris Paul. Would I trade, you know, Carmelo Anthony for Kevin Love? Like, you know, kind of those situations. Like, would you rather have Anthony Davis or Russell Westbrook?
Russ.
I would rather have Russell Westbrook. Would you rather have Chris Paul or Anthony Davis?
Oh, man, that's hard.
See, it's so hard because now, like, now it comes to what kind of team. What kind of team is it?
I would like to have Anthony Davis.
If you're starting your franchise, I'd probably start with Anthony Davis.
Yeah. But, okay, so top 10, LeBron, KD, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, Chris Paul, Kevin Love, Carmelo Anthony, Blake Griffin, Steph Curry, LaMarcus Aldridge.
That's great.
Those are our top 10 players. So if we talk about any other players, say they're top 10. No, they're not.
That's our
they
are
not. That
list.
Is it. Correct.
We're saving it.
So guys who could bust that list, Derrick Rose?
Yeah, Derrick Rose absolutely could be on this list if he can play.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant?
You think
Kobe could get back on this list if he plays?
No. I don't know. I'm so interested to watch this Lakers team.
I don't think he has
the
capability to do it anymore.
A Carlos Boozer?
Carlos Boobies, Jeremy Lin, Nick Young. They re-signed Swaggy P.
Tell me this. Can I talk about the Lakers for like 30 seconds?
Why don't you go get Eric Bledsoe? No one effing knows why they don't.
Why did they sign so many power forwards after they draft Julius Randle? That's my only question. It's hypothetical. Think about it in your head. Game time.
Game. All right, I got a game. This
game
is called...
It's game time. Let's thunder up.
Are they taller than a balla? So what I'm going to do, I was really hoping Luke would be here for this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a celebrity, and then I'm going to give you a basketball player, and you tell me who's taller.
I will be incredibly bad at this
game.
Let's
go.
All right, you ready? Brooke Shields, Rajon Rondo.
Brooke Shields.
Rondo.
Rondo by 1 inch.
Yes, that's one.
Chris Hemsworth or... Ah, dang it, I had to go.
I don't know what this. I don't know what that
He's
is.
Thor.
Thor.
Okay.
You don't know Thor?
I know what Thor is, but I don't know who that is.
Or Jody Meeks.
I know what a Thor is. Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, Thor.
Jody Meeks is 6'4", which I don't believe
Dang.
That at all.
I feel like the NBA guys are going to surprise me a lot.
Taylor Swift or Nate Robinson?
Taylor Swift, I know that.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. She's 5'10". Khloe Kardashian. This is for you, Natalie. Khloe Kardashian or Jameer Nelson?
Khloe.
Khloe.
Jameer Nelson.
Dang, oh. man. I go with the star every time.
this is my point. We think they're so tall. Tyler Perry.
We think they're so tall. I mean,
we think. Yes, we do.
Okay.
Chuck Hayes or Tyler Perry?
Chuck Hayes.
Oh, wow. Tyler Perry.
Chuck Hayes by 1 inch. Tyler Perry's 6'5".
Tyler Perry's 6'5"?
Yeah.
How tall is Chuck Hayes?
6'6".
6'6".
I don't
Chuck
even
Hayes
know.
Is a 6'6" center.
That's awesome. I like Chuck Hayes. I mean, not really, but...
Steve Nash or Maria Sharapova?
Oh, my gosh. Sharapova.
Nash.
Nash by 1 inch.
Could you have gotten any tighter ones?
No, that's the point of this game.
So 1 inch is, like, almost undistinguishable.
Chevy Chase, Tony Parker.
Chevy Chase.
Tony Parker.
Chevy Chase.
By 3/4 inch.
2 inches. Who have I not said? Jane Lynch or Chris Paul?
Who's Jane Lynch?
The principal from the singing show.
Glee.
Sorry.
Okay, hold on. She's a tall lesbian, short
easy,
hair.
Easy, easy, Taylor.
I'm sorry that she's a lesbian.
I'm sorry that you're offending everyone.
Yeah. There's other things
for people
that can
who are offended by the word lesbian. I apologize. For you calling a lesbian a lesbian, I apologize.
You've been back in the United States for like 6 hours and you're already offending people.
You'd recognize it from something.
Hold on. If I was back in New Zealand, I would not have. No one would have said lesbian. I'll just put that out there and we'll move on.
I would say Jane Lynch is taller than whoever the other person was.
Who's the other person?
Chris Paul.
CP3PO.
They're exactly the same.
So who wins that?
I don't know. Were you keeping
score? No, we didn't keep score.
Yes, I'm keeping score.
I've like won.
Guys, I asked like 9 questions.
You have 2.
I have 2.
I'm keeping your score too.
So we have 5 answers between the 2 of
us. I asked like...
We didn't
I
do very
10.
Well.
I asked 10.
We didn't do very well, but Andrew won.
We can both get them wrong, though.
We did both get a lot of them wrong.
Okay, you won.
Andrew won.
You won.
Yay.
Are they taller than a bala?
All right. Well, gentlemen, it's good to see you.
In person.
In person.
Mm.
Thank you all for joining us on Down the Dunk Podcast. We appreciate you listening. Remember to check us out on Twitter at DTD Podcast. Look for us online at downthedunk.com. You can also find us part of the Welcome to Loud City, part of the SB Nation. We appreciate you listening. We'll check you next time.